We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante rounding things out. Once again, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. This is a continuation of our player profile series as we start to approach the 2019 season. Summer camp is coming. We're just working our way down through the roster, looking at every player in a key position, every scholarship player. Three players at a time are three this week: Shaka Tony, Trent Gordon, Adisa Isaac. So two defensive ends and a cornerback. It's all defense all the time for this segment. And Shaka Tony is an interesting starting point here, Jim, because he's a guy who his career has featured just a little bit of everything. So if you recall coming out of Philadelphia, he was light and small, you know, and at the same time, he was the same class as Cam Brown, who was long and I thought not mobile enough to play linebacker at the next level. So I thought, what is Penn State doing? Shaka Tony's a linebacker. He's not a defensive end. Cam Brown is a defensive end. He's not a linebacker. James Franklin has stayed the course, and I think, you know, in both cases has been fairly successful. Shaka Tony, still, I believe, with 2 years of eligibility left. There's still a lot left in the tank for him. He has, he's gone from creating a lot of excitement to last year was a little bit underwhelming. If you look from week in, week out, you know, I think he finished with 5 or 5.5 sacks, 4 came in one game. So there's still some potential here, but, confidence has been shaken just a little bit.
It's interesting you talk about when they came in, your thinking was they should be reverse linebacker, defensive end.
Yeah.
Do you think there's been enough success between the two of them? You now agree with the decision, or do you still stand by your original thought?
I think that Cam Brown looked really good in a linebacker role for me last year, and I think he could have a big year at linebacker this year. The way that they used him, the way that he showed that he could play in space in a variety of ways, and that's exactly where they put him. I thought that was really, really encouraging. I think the best is still to come for him. I also think that Shaka Tony, the weight continues to be a struggle, and I thought for him, James Franklin was using this as a situation to kind of say how smart he is, to prove how smart he is. I don't care what the rest of college football is doing. I don't care if they say that this size is usually required. You know, we think Shaka Tony is a defensive end. We're going to use him there. I don't care if he's small. I think the reviews of his career so far, I think, are more fairly mixed than Cam Brown. And really, it's not like Cam Brown has a long history of success. I just thought he had a really nice year last year, and I thought it could be a real jumping point into something even bigger this year. He looks to me more like a linebacker. I don't care if he's 6'5" when he does it. But for Shaka Tony, I think there's a real proving ground type feel to his game this year. Either you can make consistent plays and create pressure and hurry quarterbacks and get around the edge. You can do that with consistency or you can't. I don't know what the answer is yet. I don't know that it's necessarily a size thing, but I think he's still got a lot to prove.
What's he up to weight-wise? Do you know?
I'd have to go look. Okay. But yeah. But
that's the thing. At a position like defensive end, and interestingly enough, also outside linebacker, it's that getting to the quarterback is what will make or break your reputation. Interesting, you said he had 5.5 sacks for the year and 4 of them in one game.
Roughly. I'll look that up. I'll verify also.
And I do recall some it being similar to that, but that also tells you a little bit of the randomness of this statistic, you know, when you're able to get to the quarterback or not. But at defensive end and where the game is going, where everybody's throwing the ball, that ability to just get to the quarterback occasionally, that's enough that will very quickly change the outlook on Shaka Tony. He gets out there, hits the quarterback a couple times, you know, it'll change what we think about him.
And so, okay, so a couple of things. 6'3", 236 is his listed weight now. I think that's acceptable. I think Penn State has generally been pretty honest, like in the offseason when guys come back a little bit. I think we'll see his weight rise as we get to training camp. Five sacks last year, four came against Indiana in one game. So you see, you know, right in that bit of information, sacks aren't everything, but I don't know that there was a ton of hurries that weren't documented I think his stat line isn't a misrepresentation of who he was. You saw the potential in one game. He can terrorize. We know that. We need to see it a little bit more frequently. We need to see his role develop. I think that they chose to use him. You know, his first step quickness is elite at that position, and I think that that's what they wanted to roll with, and that's what we've gotten so far. Maybe two more good years. There's still a shot here. Absolutely, there's still a shot.
That's right. And we've become so cynical about players who don't get on the field and excel as freshmen even.
Right.
We forget with 2 years eligibility left, this is a guy who could still have an outstanding career. And let's face it, that attribute of that great first step, when you're in the defensive end rotation, you've got an opportunity to make splash plays.
Yeah.
So he still has a real chance at that.
He'll put himself in that position. The question is, as you look at, you know, what is on the depth chart around him, is his role, is he going to be confined to a certain role? Is he going to be confined to a third down, you know, clear passing situation type role player? Or is his role going to expand? Is he going to be more complete? Is he going to be better this year than Jason Owe? You know, is he going to be more deserving of more reps than Jason Owe? It's going to be an interesting time for him.
In your mind, is he the number one across from the big guy, Matos?
I think that's probably the case.
First shot.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. But I think Jason Owe, I think if Shane Simmons is healthy, Daniel Joseph is another candidate. There's definitely shades of gray there. And just because you're the number one at a position like that doesn't mean you're getting all the reps, obviously. So you can be a number one and still be only have a small majority of playing time. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We're previewing the 2019 season here. I recommend you get to GoPSURV.com. Now and start to do the same thing for yourself. Do a little advanced scouting for Penn State's home games. There's no better way to spend a home weekend than at the GoPSURV.com lot, a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. You don't have to stop tailgating the entire time. And I know Jim here is going to maybe tease it a little bit, but we've got some good things cooking, some good offers, some good deals if you stay tuned to the Keystone Sports Network.
In the next couple weeks.
In the next couple weeks. There we go. All right, sticking on defense, Trent Gordon came in, was an earlier enrollee last year. He will be a redshirt freshman. He is a guy that, you know, in that 2018 recruiting class, it's easy to lose track of him. He was a three-star from Texas. I don't think there was a lot that stood out as special in a group that was very, very special from top to bottom. But he seemed to make a good impression last year. The cornerback depth chart, it's always going to be competitive. And I'm curious to see where he fits in, because obviously you have John Reed as your presumed starter. You've got Tariq Castro-Fields as your presumed starter. Donovan Johnson looked to be your probable number three cornerback. Keaton Ellis comes in. Marquise Wilson comes in. And you have two guys like Trent Gordon and DJ Brown, who you're just not quite sure where they fit. Are they rising? Are they falling? You don't really ever stay the same in life, let alone at the cornerback depth chart. So I'm curious where he's going, where DJ Brown's going.
And that's the interesting thing we always talk about. We always get excited about these incoming freshmen, and we so quickly forget about their second year in the program. If you're a redshirt freshman, you haven't even used up any of your eligibility, and we already forget about you. Going back to my Devin Ford conversation, he didn't show up early, and we forgot about him already. Right. And that is the thing, and we have no idea what's going on in practice. And remember, this guy has 4 years left of eligibility, so we have no idea. And again, cornerback is a position where you'll play more than just the two starters. So it'll be interesting to see who jumps up that level, or if the true freshman, potentially, we mentioned Keaton Ellis, he's the kind of guy who seems like he might be jumping people.
I think there's a good chance of that. I also think that you know, you can feel good about Donovan Johnson as a number three cornerback, but I don't think anything is it can be taken to the bank just yet. I think there could be some opportunities for shuffling all around there, and that would include Trent Gordon, but there's a new threat there with you know, four cornerbacks coming in the 19 class. So you got Keaton Ellis, you got Marquise Wilson already, you got Daquan Hardy coming in at 5'10", 160, and you got Joey Porter Jr. coming in, who it's my personal belief he ends up as a safety, not as a cornerback. I like his coverage skills, but when it comes to depth and where you're going to, you know, Penn State has shown that they'll move cornerbacks to safety. That's just my personal projection. But Trent Gordon, you know, it's where Penn State is as a program now, is that competition is going to keep coming in waves, and you have to keep personally developing to try to stay ahead of that competition.
And this goes back to that numbers game where right. you're not depending on just one recruit. There's competition. There's multiple guys. You got multiple shots at it, at finding a couple who can play. And if you don't perform, there's someone coming in next year. And this is why, too, when everyone got all worked up about the transfer portal and many Penn State players choosing to exercise that option, they got concerned. Well, those guys were not going to transfer unless they realize they're not at the top of the depth chart.
One more player here, Adisa Isaac, a very impressive. He was top 100 player in the 24/7 composite in the 2019 recruiting class. He's a city kid from Brooklyn, 34 tackles for loss, 22 sacks. I'm not quite sure about the level of competition week in and week out, but he was a dominator. He looked, you know, to me on film, similar game-wise to Yetur Gross-Matos. He just had a feel for how to get into the backfield, how to make plays behind the line of scrimmage. I think physically he makes the grade for sure. He's a very good athlete. He's a big, strong kid who can move well. Yetur Gross-Matos was kind of the similar thing. I'm not saying that Adisa Isaac is going to become that for sure, but I think that what you saw on film is 100% valid. I think he's got the whatever ability, technique, strength, speed. He's got that combination to be in the backfield and to do it at the college level too.
And as you talked about earlier, you look for a player comparison, and at the defensive end position, where again, they rotate guys in, so an opportunity may be there sooner rather than later. Hey, give me as many of these guys as you possibly can who you want to compare to Matos. Bring them on.
Yeah, that's very good company. But in terms of length and stuff, Matos is up over 260 pounds. I'll be sure if Adisa Isaac can get there. We got plenty more player profile series coming up this spring and summer on the Keystone Kickoff Show. That's it for us for this week. Be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app, and now available on Spotify. See you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.